We love him.
Right. Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited to get this popping. Make sure our sound effects are good. Now, the thing is with this guest here, you're not a rapper, but I'm going to play some hip-hop to start this because you're definitely part of our hip-hop foundation, our hip-hop history over here in Toronto, and this might be something that you might have danced to at the jam.
Oh, you're playing some...
See, I wish we had enough space to see some of the classics. But we didn't even do that.
You know what's crazy that you're playing this? I was just watching this movie.
First place you were where you heard the song?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
And you're probably dancing at this place at this when this song came on.
No, I think, to be honest with you, I think I saw the video first.
Okay, let's get into it.
I think that was Rap City.
Rap City, eh? We're about to take these people on a knowledge ride right here. We back at it.
Yeah, it was definitely the video. Because we were cheating. We'd learned the song before you got to the jam. And then when it's time to get down, you already know the tune. So,
you know what? Before I even get into the intro, I always have just these off the head questions that pop into my brain. Do you guys, as dancers, as break dancers, right? Do you guys have certain lyrics that you have moves to, or is it just all beat? Because that was a lyrical tune that we were just listening to right there.
Yeah. And you can start. So there's people that storytell. They're about the lyrics.
Okay.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
You use certain parts of the lyrics and you do a move to emphasize it and stuff.
Yeah. For me, that also helps create too, right? What I want to do. Because the beat is constant, not all the time. As when the chorus comes in, it might change. A few cuts from maybe premiere, you could get down to that. But most of the time, like for me, it's a combination, the beat and the lyrics, but storytell.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm really excited to get into the story that we're about to get into here. And big salute to the people on YouTube. Make sure to like, subscribe. And big salute to our sponsors, Astro Pink. If you know, you know. Check them out on their website, myastropink.com, or on their Instagram, astro_pink. That's the alien that you see right there behind our guest right there on the YouTube. And for the people in the listening audience, I know y'all are listening and you're like, holy. Actually, the people in the viewing audience, because in the listening audience, they might not always hear this person's voice, but they see him killing it on the dance floor. So with no further ado, we have the B-boy, Benzo, in the motherfucking building.
Yes, man. Respect, Benjamin. Thank you.
Also, another quick sponsor shout out I got to do here because, you know, we got to pay some bills here. Quick, fast. My bad. What's the name of these guys? Designer Kush. So they're Designer Kush 6. That's what we're going to be smoking on throughout this episode here.
Okay.
Do me a favor. Dusty Wallace is in the building also. Pass me that jar, or if you could pass that jar over to Benzo. You know what I'm saying? I come bearing gifts. You know what I'm saying?
Respect.
Check them out, Designer Kush 6 on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? That's all you need, and they'll be able to handle your order. You seen? But, Benzo, I want to get a full breakdown and a full story because we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been seeing you from even in the Andy's pool hall days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cutting up the floor. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people hear from the rappers in the industry, they hear from the producers, but they rarely get to hear from, in my opinion, from the dancers. Okay. Yeah. And that is a very important as far as the four elements of hip hop. So I want to ask one question first. What's the difference between breakdancing and b-boying?
Ah, good question. Because b-boying, well, the term b-boy, well, if you want to get into all that, to the terminology, like, being a b-boy wasn't necessarily just breaking, dancing to the break, you know. And you know, you were into the hip hop culture. Mm-hmm. You know, B-boys knew how to rhyme. They knew how to write, you know, graffiti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them knew how to DJ. Mm-hmm. It was like there were more, it was a term to be like, you are a break boy in the culture. Yeah, you danced, but you also dabbled in.
You did other things.
Other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you had the B-girl, and B-girls weren't always breaking. You know what I'm saying? It was like, even though the way that you dress like a B-boy or a B-girl. Mm-hmm. You know, back then it was like, B-girls rock the jeans with the, you know what I'm saying, the Chucks or the Reeboks or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And then a break dancer is just mainly then the dancing then.
Yeah, break dancing is a terminology that came from the media, mm-hmm. right? And this has been argued back and forth because I know people are going to see this and this conversation is still going on to this day, but
yeah.
Breakdancing is something that the media coined it as. Mm-hmm. And, that's not what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So at the end of the day, when you look at it, it's like they use that term to like be able to sell it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And package it and. So, but you could see people out there that just know how to break dance too. Like they just know how to do the moves that are, you know, kind of just taught to them, and they're not really getting into like the actual breaking element, like Top Rocks.
Yeah,
you know, getting into the beats. You know,
yeah, because break dancing,
you know, like, not just you know, and it's different now because. It's evolved so much, mm-hmm. and the moves evolve so much right now.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of it looks like break dancing because it's so aerial and very, there's a crazy agility, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of them out there right now that are just digging into the music and, you know, killing the footwork and Top Rocks and just doing the high level stuff that they're doing now too,
yeah.
to the music, right?
Yeah.
For me, a break dancer is someone that's just gonna just go out there and just do moves,
yeah,
just to catch the crowd. But if you b-boy and b-girling, you really get into like the music and mm-hmm. breaking it down and showing all levels of the dance. And they're out there doing it. So some of these kids right now, woof. You gotta see some of these kids.
Yeah. Crazy, right? No, I see some videos mm-hmm. and I see a lot of aerial acrobatics and stuff like that and some elements of like up rocking and stuff like that, but then they just get to the acrobatic stuff.
Well, yeah, because there's new moves. Like air flare is like a new foundation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Air flare.
Yeah.
Layman's term for us out here.
And the air flare is just like hopping basically like in a flare, like you're on your hand and your two legs are out in front of you and you're swinging around, right? Mm-hmm. But an air flare is now you're taking that motion and you're jumping from one hand to another with your legs open
mm-hmm.
and you're doing that consistently your body touching the ground.
That's
you're just
crazy.
All hands.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a crazy move. Pablo mm-hmm. is the originator of that move. And from there, people just perfected it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's just now it's like a found, you know, like how windmill was foundation for mm-hmm. us. Now that's like standard foundation
yeah.
for these kids now, right? So it's going to look very acrobatic, but the whole thing that some of them are doing is they're taking that same area, that same acrobatic aerial dance,
yeah.
and they're doing it to the music and they're adding style. Like Little G is one of the guys, he's a dope b-boy mm-hmm. and he's a perfect example of what you can do, what would they call power moves,
yeah.
To music, right? And be on point and not look too repetitive
mm-hmm.
and just take it to another level. So, and that's what they're doing. A lot of them are doing that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man. And there's some stuff that I want to find out even about the new age of breaking as we get more into our conversation. But with you, let's go back into your history, right?
Yeah.
Raised on Jane Street.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, because we're a Toronto podcast, yeah. people are always going to want, so what part of the chain, fam?
Yeah. So I was right in the middle.
Okay.
Right at chain and 401, basically.
Hmm.
Okay. So check this out. On Jane Street, we were like basically in the middle of all the hoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was right there at Jane and Church, right? And then if I went north, I would hit Falstaff.
Okay.
So I used to go to Staff all the time, used the gym, the rec room. I met a whole bunch of people over there. I've been a part of Falstaff since I've been able to ride my bike over there.
From time.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
and then, you know, you can go further up. You hit Jane and Wilson, then you hit Chalk Farm, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bob Swan and so forth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Finch, Driftwood, all them ends there. That's, I never really lived out there.
Yeah.
But I would always go out there because we go out there and dance in the rec rooms and play ball. That's what we did,
mm-hmm.
right? And then Southside, you have Church, you know what I'm saying? And even Martin Eason Way at the same time, because even it's not on Jane Street, but Martin Eason Way, if you could blend back ends, that was basically like projects too.
That's all part of the staff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And then go over the bridge, Jane and Weston Road, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the park out there with the buildings. Used to play ball over there with 7-Eleven. That 7-Eleven's famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you grew up in the household, you know, Bajan household. We got something in common.
Yeah, yeah, Bajan household.
Right?
Yeah.
And what was life like in the house? Like, was it a full house, parents, brothers and sisters, or was it your only child?
Oh, no, I grew up with my family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. At first, I didn't grow up with my brother and sister because they were back home.
Okay.
Still finishing. I think it was like some parts of school they had to finish before they came up. Then they came up. I grew up with my brother and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
One brother, one sister.
Okay.
And mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. What about high school? Like, once you started getting into high school and stuff like that, because I know you were a baller. Like, you're always a tall guy. From, like, 6 years old, you're 5'10".
You know how many people don't believe I play basketball?
Why would they not believe that, fam? Like, you're 6 foot and change, fam. And you're athletic, bro.
Man, all the men in my online talking, they're like, yo, wait till I have Benzo play ball. What are you talking about? And I'm like, bro, I was on the ball team. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. You were serious about ball at one point.
Yeah. I thought I was going to, you know, go to the NBA. You know, you all think that, especially in them times. There,
yeah.
You know
what I mean?
And that's why I was at Falstaff so much, because they had a gym.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bike ride away. Or I'd ride down to, believe it or not, I'd ride to Woolner sometimes.
Okay.
I have a big, that's where the whole, you know, bag of tricks kind of thing stirred between my house and Woolner and Falstaff. That's how it really started, this whole we should dance type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, we had space, because you could go in the rec room. And one of the rooms there, it didn't even matter if it was a room that had tables and moved that lunchroom. Lunchroom mm-hmm. was perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what, so we were in the hood. That's what we were doing.
Yeah. And you know, even I did ask a question about brothers and sisters and stuff like that, but your mm-hmm. older brother was in like the older iteration of the Bag of Tricks crew.
Yeah, there's six of us
mm-hmm.
that are the original Bag of Tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, my brother's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Tony, Tommy C's, and then Magic,
mm-hmm.
right? Queso is my brother's dance name.
Okay.
Right? And then you have Tic Tac and Gizmo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That, and you know, I've seen Gizmo go on to like a lot of like crazy heights and stuff too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gizmo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Gizmo. It was the way we met Gizmo is crazy too, because we were going to this jam that Grouch was spinning at.
Mm-hmm. Salute to DJ Grouch.
Yes, right. Mm. And we show up. And you know, the man that we're showing up to, it's Grouch's Jam. We're family.
Yeah.
So we're showing up like dressed a certain way. We're not really showing up to dance. We look too gallant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Young, going there, have fun. And there's a circle. So we're like on pause. We're like, yo, circle. We're the ones that usually do that.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? So we go over there. We see this small little Filipino guy just going off.
By himself?
No. And a little Guyanese guy standing right behind him waiting to go in next.
Okay.
And they're both dressed the same. Remember the days where the man used to wear the plaid pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. You know what I'm saying? Bobby Brown, Every Little Step times. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like 80, 89, mm-hmm. 90.
Yeah. Roger Rabbit times and shit. Yeah.
These guys are breaking. And they're doing a bit of the new stuff too. They're doing routines and shit.
Yeah. But
back to the part of the story, that's what they were doing there. So we're like, who the hell are these two guys dressed the same at our jam? Grouch's Jam.
Yeah.
Going off. So we drove back home, changed up, flew back, battled. And at the end of the battle, we were like, yo, are you with the crew? And he was like, nah, man. He was like, okay, roll with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it was like, after we spoke with him and everything, it was like an instant click. We're doing the same. And the thing is, we were doing almost the same concept of what we thought was breaking, which is another thing we got to talk about later. Mm-hmm. But it was like, we didn't have much to learn in terms of what breaking really was, New York style.
Yeah.
You know, we just had that small clip, those small clips from, mm-hmm. The popular, Beat Street, Wild Style.
Yeah.
Like, so when we really, put two and two together, and some of the traits that we took with us was some of the club dance styles, like you mentioned, Roger Rabbit, Running Man.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't use the Transformer.
Yeah, we didn't use a lot of those. We used Thread the Needle. Mm. Big Daddy Kane jumping over the leg, Thread the Needle.
Yeah.
We used that, and that became a trademark for us, the way we do it with breaking. Yeah. Actually.
Because and do me a favor and turn your mic just upwards like that towards you. There you go. Perfect. There was a combination, because breaking, just from my knowledge, from it being a hip hop head, 84 to 86 was heavy, right?
Remember that, right?
And then it kind of died down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And dancing got a resurgence in the late 80s with the crews. Like, all rappers had to have dancers behind them. Scoop and Scrap, all these different, down here, Maestro had dancers, what I'm saying?
And that's that. You remember that era, right? That was, and I call that the duo era, where you always had a partner.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And you dressed the same. It was suity suit style, tapered pants, you know what I'm saying?
You could go into bands and like Rocky and Bullwinkle, right? Cougar and Blast.
Yeah. Right?
And then, like you mentioned, and that's Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then you have the famous Frankie and Derek.
Yeah.
Right? Where they all dance with Maestro.
Yeah, man.
At some point in time.
R.I.P. Frankie and salute to DRK, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like, if you really think about that era, you, like you mentioned, Scoop and Scrap, that's what the thing was for you to do. You found a dance partner.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, yo, we need to do this routine together. Right? And we just were inspired, from Mark West and Fendi, EPMD's dancers, Sean and Kenny, Coogee Raps dancers.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And Hot Dog, Chip Rock's dancer, him and his.
Those guys on the fucking Cheetah Right video, I was like, whoa!
Hot Dog.
Those moves are crazy.
Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point in time, when you started getting into breakdancing, okay, you used to tape Beat Street over your mom's soap operas, bro?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
You know what's trouble? You know what's trouble I got into for doing that? You know how visions are, right? You're just like,
boy, what are you doing with my stories?
Right? She was vexed. She was like, yeah, but I didn't have anything to do to have to tape it. And me and my brother knew it was coming on. So we're like, yo, we need this. And, but you know, the funny thing is, just from doing that, that made us realize that, what we did here in Canada, it was an amazing thing. It was just something that wasn't expected to be anything at that moment when we were doing that. We were just doing that for fun. We weren't doing that to be like, yo, we're gonna go out there and do shows. That was the beauty of it. Then we were just gonna be like, okay, we need to, and just to go out, and when we hear music, no matter where it was, we wanted to release. That was our release, you know. That was a way for us to do something when there's nothing to do.
Yeah, kept you away from the bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And even with the Bag of Tricks crew, right? It's the only North American crew that's not an all-star. Explain that to us, please.
Yeah, we don't have any like other crews attached to us. We're just very, it's an amazing thing. We just had our crew as a whole forever. We've never, you know, and a lot of guys don't dance anymore, you know? Bag of Tricks now is just a household name, and I've used it as an example of, you know, how you should carry yourself, you know, and push the boundaries and always believe that you can accomplish your goals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, man, like you've had a very amazing like tapestry to put together this whole picture, right? Like you used to teach at a dance school, right? It was a triple threat school. Yeah. Randolph Dance Studios.
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience.
Yeah, Randolph Dance Theater. And that's crazy because that was just right over here. Downtown. That was an amazing experience. Also, that was a good learning lesson. That was a good learning point for me. A good turning point, to be exact. Where I was at a point where I felt like I could teach. And don't get me wrong. If you're out there teaching, teach. If you feel like you can do it, do it.
Yeah.
But from my experience, I was at a level in my of my dance where I didn't feel like I had everything in order to teach. And it was fun to teach. I wasn't even getting paid.
Really?
I wasn't getting paid.
You were really doing it for the love.
I was doing that for the love. The only thing I would get out of it is that I get to use the studio to practice.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I got out of it.
So you also, during that time, like you met like a somebody who went on to do a bunch of great things. Like, can you tell us about that, the person you met in that school?
Oh, I met a lot of people in that school. George Randolph had a good connection with a lot of actors and singers because it was a triple threat school. So, you know, singing, acting, dancing. And, you know, Whoopi Goldberg would come by sometimes, poke her head in. And that would blow my mind sometimes when I'm teaching class.
Yo, there's Whoopi right over there. Shit.
Right? Yeah, it's a good friend of George Randolph, man. And Gregory Hines.
Wow.
He came in one time and that was one of my greatest moments, probably. He came in and he was like, and the way it is set up is there's so many, there's like a box in the studio above, and it was huge, where you could go upstairs and watch the class.
Okay.
So I'm teaching and I'm not realizing he's up there watching me teach. So he came down. My class was probably like an hour, I believe. He came down after, and he walks right in. Class is over. People are kind of just like dancing a little bit, people packing up their stuff. And I turn and look, and I froze. I was like, he's like, good class, man. I was like, oh, man. I'm like, thank you. That means so much. You know, gave him a pound, gave him a hug. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're a really good teacher. He's like, don't stop doing that, man. He's like, keep teaching. And that gave me a boost to keep teaching at that moment. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I just reached that point where I was like, yo, I need to grow. And I don't know all of it. I don't feel like I know all of it. Mm-hmm. So I need to stop teaching. And I got more into more like, I'd say, leading by example, just, you know, growing as a dancer myself.
Yeah.
And then if people ask, you know, how do you do this to the music or whatever, then I can really
give them some advice then.
Give some advice.
Yeah.
Then, right. And, you know, as you get older, you don't do it as much, but, the young kids are still admire the way you move to the music. It's something that's in you that you have a good way to push the music out of you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, we live in a visual world. So if you can capture that person with the sound, then, you know, that's a good gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even like you guys started to go on to do like, competitions and stuff like that, right? Like even in like 1999, you were the only Canadian crew to win the UK B-Boy Championship.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
So tell us the two-part question. The UK experience,
mm-hmm.
and then the hearing that you guys won the championship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was dope. We were on a tour, actually.
Okay.
99 was our year. I'd call that like our legacy year where we were on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to hit up three places in 1 year.
Okay.
First was Korea. We went out there. And we got to battle some of our own legends. I got to battle Ken Swift,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and Flowmaster and Crumbs, and hang out with Wiggles and Pop and Pete, and you know, that was a great experience. We didn't beat them, obviously. We came second place.
Mm-hmm.
At that 99, those guys were like peaking,
mm-hmm.
especially Kenny. It was crazy. He's like, he had like this second surge of youth in his dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just killing it. And then we went to Germany right after for Battle of the Year. That was dope. Battle of the Year was dope. We did everything was like a showcase type thing back mm-hmm. then. So we got a lot of praise for doing our showcases. That's what got us into like high ranking battles.
Yeah, so these like pre-prepared routines that you guys have.
Yeah, that's what some of them. I don't know if Battle of the Year still does it. I don't want to quote myself on that. And a UK championship, the one that we won, I still think they brought that back, that mm-hmm. concept where you come out, you do your, you know, your showcase, you guys show what you have, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then the judges get back to you, then they seed you, mm-hmm. right? So we got seated in first, second.
Okay.
And there was a problem. I don't know if it was the people or the promoter.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like it. They didn't like what the judges, the decision that they made. So they rallied back on us
mm-hmm.
and was like, yo, you know, you guys got, you know, the prizes for winning showcases, but they want to see this battle, which was another two crews.
Okay.
And we had to battle for third and fourth.
And so, what were the crews, to, if you remember?
So I believe it was Rock Force crew. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember who the other crew was that they had to battle.
Okay.
But the drama was, for third and fourth, we had to battle the family from France.
Mm.
Right? So we go out on stage. They're out there. We're getting down. One of the men them go in. They go in. One of the men them go in. They go in. They start picking up their bags. And they walked off stage.
The fuck?
While the music's still playing. The battle's still happening.
What?
Mm-hmm. They were pissed off that they didn't get to battle for first and second. So they left us on stage stranded.
Mmm.
It was bad. That was one of my worst experiences of like being on the stage. And what I mean, like, I think there was about 3,000 people there.
That's mud.
It was in an airplane hangar where they had this battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Europe. They love that shit.
Yeah.
They love that shit.
They treat it at a different level of Germany respect.
They love hip hop.
Yeah.
Huge community over there. And that shit was crazy. It was everybody from around the world. They were all there for that battle. These battles are insane. So, imagine that happening on stage while, and then the judges that they're all, everybody's looking at everybody like, what the fuck? So, guess what we did? A couple of us went down the other side and we started battling each other.
Battle each other. Sick. See, that's that Toronto mind right there. You know what I'm saying? Man, them for like, yo, well, fuck it. We'll just finesse the thing, fam. We'll just make the shit happen, bro.
And then the judges jumped up on stage and joined us.
Mm.
And then we just, it became more of a performance. We did a hurrah, came off stage. Big argument back at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But the French guys, one of our crew members didn't, this guy was, he was very, very, very upset.
Mm-hmm. And
he just kind of like snapped on them and came into an argument, whatever, whatever. So that it was a tour. So then after that, we get invited to the UK.
Yeah.
And during this whole time, we're bumping into this crew called Spartanic Rockers.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them are from Japan, half of them are from Switzerland.
Okay.
How that happened, how they work together, blows my mind. Because if you see their routines, their showcase, probably the most amazing thing I've seen. At the level of entertainment and like choreography in terms of placement and just like being synchronized on point. They had it all. They were an amazing crew that knew how to showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And battles a bit too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do it because half of them were from Switzerland and half of them were from Japan.
And this is before the internet was a thing like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the men and were mailing each other VHSs. They told me, they're like, oh yeah. And then there was a language barrier that they figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you would never figure that you would be in a crew from a different country.
Mm.
Like it's a language barrier, but not really. You're both doing the same dance.
This movement is not a barrier, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how they did that. So we kept seeing them on all these trips. So UK now, same thing, showcase, blah, 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 get seated high against them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh shit, okay. Let's see if we can do this. We know we can do this, right? And that's how we won. We beat them. And that was like the first time I've ever like, that was like the pinnacle for me because mm-hmm. I had the tapes too, you know what I mean? I was like, yo, you can't be boy. I was like, you know what I mean? So that was like modern day now Red Bull for me back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you're connected with Red Bull now and we definitely have to get to that point of the history. But before we get there, right? You appeared in a bunch of music videos, right? The videos that stand out for me the most are like the Superstar Chaos video and different videos like that. Like you and Chaos work together a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So two parts, right? Give me a list of some of your most memorable music videos that you appeared in, like, or ones that people would remember the most. Let me say that, right? And then two, the Chaos connection.
Probably video, man. Hit me with that one. That's a hard Broski, one.
There was a point in time I'm turning on much music, and every other video, every time there's show, any video that there's dancers, you're in it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's with the Bag of Tricks crew or just they got you and some different dancers from different places, I'm seeing Benzo. I'm like, there's Benzo again.
Yeah. 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 I got into the industry. That was fun. There's so many people to shout out for that.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't remember them all, like, man, don't get offended, fam. Like, yo, we're doing interviews. Man, don't have a list of names ready and stuff, so relax.
Yeah. There's so much people that were involved in getting me to that point in my life. And they just, I'm not, and the funny thing is people are like, you're a dancer. Why are you not a camera guy? Mm. And I'm like, I'm not really a camera guy. Like, you know, like people take selfies and, you know, I'm not that guy. I couldn't be an actor for some reason just because I'm not friends with the lens or that feeling of the lens on you at all times. So they helped me get through that and they were just like, just, you know, don't focus on that too much. Just go out there and be you. They're there for Benzo. So because that's what you're giving them.
Yep.
So, you know, so it worked out. And video, man, that's a tough one. There's
enough of it.
Yeah, man. There's enough. But for Chaos, I would probably say Man I Used to Be.
Big tune and big like dance performance in that video too. It was like because the thing is, for the people who y'all go do your Googles or do your YouTubes, there was breaks in our songs back in the days where like there would just be a musical break and that would just play like the bridge basically.
Yes. Right?
And then they get back to like the hook and then maybe another verse. And then we're off of this. Now the song's done. 3 minutes, 43 seconds. You got all of that into the one song. And in that break, boom, you got a music video. You got to get Benzo in there.
You want to hear some shit?
Yes, please.
Of all the videos that you think you would see me the most in, you only see my face once, and that's B-Boy Stance. Chaos video.
Classic.
But that's crazy. Yeah, I watched it, and I was like, wait a minute. I'm not in that shit. I was like, what? My face, that's it? And, you know, I had to talk with them and shit. I was like, yo, what was that, man? They're like, we didn't like any of your clips. I'm like, well, fuck, say something. Just let me know. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man, that's dope, man. Like, it really helped to put breakdancing on the map, especially us getting to see it on a regular basis through music videos. You know what I'm saying?
I got to thank the artists for even just thinking about having that, you know, that art form in their music videos or on stage. You know, Maestro, he's always come with that element, the elements on stage.
Yeah, he's one of the originators.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Chaos, same thing, but it's more organic. So he'll come with a live band and then throw you a wild B-boy hook, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a lot, you know, B-boy, you know, and a DJ over some live drums and keys and strings. Mm-hmm. And give you that, you know, almost like that Roots feel.
Yeah.
Right? So I got to give them props. All the artists that have, you know, reached out to us and been like, yo, we want some B-boys in our video. Because for me, as much as I know it, at one point in time, it became popular just to do that. Mm-hmm. Just people were interested. Like, oh, look at that guy. He's doing whatever on his head.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just like, no, you're not just going to be in the video. We're going to go on tour, or I'm going to get you some gigs and make sure that you know, eat. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely have to give them props, because it's not an industry where dancing is like the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not a place where you make tons of money.
Yeah.
If you hit the very, very top, and it's different now. Now it's different. But even back then, if you hit the very, very top, you were like one out of how many?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That would be in that position.
And this is pre-dance competition shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, so you think you could dance and all that stuff too,
yeah,
right?
That's way before that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, at the time when like 92, when we started the crew, we actually believed that what we were doing, which our parents at home were saying, you know, what are you doing rolling around on the floor? You know, you know, it's amazing shit.
Yeah.
You know? What are you doing rolling around on the floor? Go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we thought we could take that and actually get paid to do it. And it wasn't a lot at first, but the fact that it actually happened, we knew we had a chance. We were like, okay, this could actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And from there, we just started doing shows, and we started getting paid doing shows.
Yeah.
And then we started getting into the numbers we were doing. We were doing pretty well for, like, if you would say, you know, you go out for like maybe 3 hours, you know, perform for like, what, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Go home with $300 in your pocket, and then, you know, you're good for the night.
Yeah.
Almost every weekend, sometimes.
That's rent.
Back then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it worked out, you know? It worked. And sometimes, and it was funny because we were so lucky to get caught in an era where it was like, parties were so, a lot of things were happening,
mm-hmm.
and going out was the thing. So they would always call us, hey, yo, you could break dance here at, you know, RPM, or, you know, what's the one out in Mississauga? What's that one called out in Mississauga? 107 Club 107.
Okay.
Or 108, I think Club 108. One of those ones out there.
So they would pay you guys to come out there and just dance at the club?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because, that Rap City thing helps us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us a lot, being on TV. That was like, because I think I was like, what, 15, 16? Yeah, probably.
Mm.
And I was on TV dancing.
Yeah.
So you go in the hood, people are like, yo, motherfucker, I seen you on TV. Like, oh, that's sick. That sparked something. More people saw it.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing. And then club owners were like, yo, let's fucking have some break dancers in here at our hip hop night.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes the night would be like, and you got to give a lot of props to like REMG, you know what I mean?
Yes, Luther Ramos, yeah.
Yeah, Ramos, he threw a lot of parties that he made sure he was like, yo, we're going to do the elements and the B-boys have to be there, right?
Mm-hmm,
the B-girls
mm-hmm.
have to be there. So, you know, we did well for ourselves in terms of that era, you know. Sometimes it got into the point where we'd have to split up because the crew got bigger. So there's like 12 of us. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have two shows
mm.
and two nights. So we go, some of us will go there, or some of us will go there.
Double booked on the same night type of thing.
High school started paying us. Oh, we killed all the high schools. So, definitely.
I did not know that. 93,
94. From 93 to 98, I got paid basically by the Board of Education.
To go party, to go dance, to go do what you actually love to do.
Jokingly, nobody don't go say that, but jokingly. Like,
no, fam, like, you know, this is early monetization of dancing because now in these days and times. All the black proms. Really? So you're getting invited to the proms and getting paid to go and just break.
Perform.
That's mud. I didn't know that, fam. This is like hip hop, like, knowledge to me. I'm thinking that the breakers are just at the spot because they left the fucking dance. You obviously do.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking smart idea from the promoters to be like, yo, we need to get some people in here who are going to also turn up the party.
Yeah.
Pay some guys and some girls to come through and break.
Yeah. And then it became popular to the point where it started getting into videos. And then movies, and then, you know, it always gets oversaturated and that shit goes away again.
Yeah.
Right?
So even like talking about monetization, right? You are connected with Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
How did that connection come to par?
So for the record, I officially don't work for them.
Yeah. No, I said you're connected with
them. Yes. But you know how some people are.
Yeah.
I've been connected with them for probably, I think it's probably like 10 years now.
Okay.
And that all happened from, believe it or not, big up to Heist, Toronto Collective.
Yeah, salute.
And Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supernaturals. And Q-Rock. We were all street performing.
Okay.
Like concrete, flat foot hustling. And I'll explain that later on when we get back to the story of how we were doing school shows and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the men them stopped dancing.
Mm.
So I linked up with these guys and we were I had a job. I was good. I don't even remember where the hell I was working, but I was good.
Yeah.
I had a job. And they were just like, yo, let's just practice more on the weekends and shit. So I got back into it heavy. And Clown and KML and Quickstep, like Full Circle, they all used to come here and street perform right at Young and Dundas.
Okay.
Right? I used to go by and see them. I was working, but I'd still dap up the man them, and I was excited. That's how I met KML. I met him from street performing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that, and I took that, and I was like, yo, we should just fucking get an linoleum, go on Queen Street, right at the boy, right by the Black Bull, and bring a fucking box. Jedi brought a old school box. It was crazy. And we had an aux cord going into the CD player.
And what year it was? Years were around this time,
right? This time right now. Oh, fuck. This is after 99. So this is like what?
This is early 2000s time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, 2002.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are there, beer store, Queen and Bell or Queen Beverly, you're around that
Queen
area.
Queen and Peter, basically.
Okay, Queen and Peter, right there, Much Music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Doing your thing.
Doing our thing. And we put a bucket out called Philip the Bucket, and we drew a tie on him and everything, made him like a person and shit. Yeah. Like, this is Philip. And we hustled. I hustled. They hustled. We performed. People gave us money.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to make like little routines and shit. Cause I told them, cause of back tricks, I told them like, yo, one, we'll be way less exhausted if we just do routines.
Yeah.
Right? And two, people are attracted to people working together.
Mm-hmm.
They like to, it looks like a show. So let's just do, so we did that and we hustled and we made a lot of money. Actually, I was surprised how well we were doing, especially for how we were doing it. It's not like we were out there all day. Like, we were out there like maybe 2.5 hours.
Nice.
Then we're going home at like, you know, $200-$300 easily.
Mm.
And we're doing that from like, if it's hot outside, we're doing it. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we started doing it in front of the bomb shelter. And that's when it really became a thing where people on the street, Queen Street, were talking about it.
Mm.
So one day, this guy was walking by. I don't remember where I was. I probably was either on the way there or I was there and I went to go get some stuff from the store, mm-hmm. something. Well, all I knew is I came back and Heist had a card in his hand and was like, yo, Red Bull card, this guy named JD wants to talk to us about doing some shit. So I was like, okay, that's dope. Them times Red Bull was disgusting. You remember that shit?
Yeah, it was it wasn't as popping yet.
No, it wasn't the thing one.
It was like the ginseng more times.
Yeah. And this was the time where they were actually flipping it.
Into an energy drink.
Yeah. And this is one that we tasted, the one that everybody's drinking now.
Mm-hmm.
We tasted that one first.
Interesting.
That's when they just flipped it.
Yeah.
And that's he gave us a card. And this is like, this is the new Red Bull. Da, 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 da. And went there, took us there, tasted it, whatever. Hung up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he was like, yo, you guys want to do some university tours? And we were like, yeah, of course we want to do some university tours.
The bear shit in the woods?
And we did some tours with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Yeah, man. There's so much that I feel that Toronto.
When they were small, they weren't like we were going across Canada.
Yeah.
It was just like around, you know, Ontario. We did like 4 or 5 universities. And
yo, but bro, that's early corporate sponsorship. Like,
yeah, that was our first like real corporate deal.
Yeah.
And that was the end, because at that point they wanted to do a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on it went to King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then from after King of the Ring is now Red Bull BC1.
Right? From a ginseng drink to like now holding huge competitions and stuff like that, you know, besides like the X Games and all the stuff that they're involved with as well. You know what I'm saying?
They're a production company now, right?
Yeah.
Or they are a production company.
And y'all were like there from the inception, you know what I'm saying? Or not the inception, from like that change. Cause it's funny that you're talking about it. I watched the whole movie or little documentary piece on YouTube about Red Bull and the way they changed from the ginseng drink to the energy drink. Crazy story.
Yeah.
But a few things, more things I want to talk to you about before we close out our conversation. All right. Can you talk to us a little bit about Toronto's contributions to the music industry, like the dancing parts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's not mentioned enough how many people we see on the screen that come from Toronto, from the dance scene.
Oh, till this day. You know, I just saw Isaiah on a Netflix show that me and my lady were watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Director X is probably, I would say he is probably one of, and I'm saying one of because I don't know who else,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to say he's the only one. And
yeah.
People are like, no, you know, but he's one of, and from my own experience, that opened up that door
mm-hmm.
to Toronto dancers to be in, you know, the Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
Right. And it's big now. So many people have gone on tours with huge dancers like Missy, and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, And it's amazing. And been on the big screen. So Toronto is there everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And yes, it's funny that you brought up X. It just slipped my mind that he is a big gateway to a lot of people seeing Toronto dance on the screen because mm-hmm. he filmed so many videos here.
Yeah.
Got so many, you know, amazing people in music videos dancing, whether it's break dancing, yeah. whether it's just routines.
Because when him and Hype Williams connected, that's mm-hmm. when it took off, right?
Yeah.
I remember when we did the music video for Rock and Wyclef. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was X and Hype.
And that was filmed here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was filmed here. And that was like one of my first experiences of like being in a bigger production in terms of like lights, cameras, and you know, structure and how they filmed it and being around big stars.
Yeah.
You know? And it was dope. Yeah, he took us along all the way. With down to Missy, we did a video with her. You know, Seal. I go on and on. There's so many people that he was able to be like, "Yo, I want you guys in it," because you were dope. He came from. He knows, and I hope people know that and give him credit for that. He was there. I witnessed him being around us when we used to battle, dance, right?
No, I don't think X gets enough of his flowers when it comes to the Toronto hip hop history and just him being able to take that and bring that over to the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He definitely opened the door for the dancers. That's how I feel. And from there, it just blew up. And now all those dancers are doing big things, you know, and they're doing big productions.
Yeah.
You know, like just the other day, Tanisha Scott brought us back on for one of the first Black Awards here in Canada. And they filmed it, right? So, yeah, that was amazing. I think it was CBC where we were on TV and shit.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. So, you know, she's one that she came from that lineage.
Yeah.
And they're out there doing amazing things. And the thing is, it's not even, like you said, a lot of people don't know because it's not spoken about a lot, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. And, you know, the more we talk about it, it should inspire more people to, you know, think outside the box. You don't necessarily have to make it here. You can make it anywhere. You know, just have a good plan, good strategy. You know, and prepare for those road bumps too, because nothing comes easy.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's facts.
Yeah.
And even like one question that I feel that some people who, you know, young dancers and different people in the game, because there's been things like games that have taken dance moves and not given credit. All the different things happen, right?
Yeah.
And it's all from the dance art.
Didn't the Olympics do that too? Hammond? The hammer, he called that ear flare the hammer. Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, another two-part question, right? How do dancers protect their moves, and how do dancers monetize?
And that's, you know, and this is what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. You know, breaking is going to be in the Olympics.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah, in Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a Canadian team. Mm-hmm. There's teams for all around the world. And they're all being sanctioned and run by a federation, right? So you have the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee,
okay,
that oversees everything, right? And it trickles down to the NOC and then so on and so forth. And then you have the World Sports Dance Federation, who is the governing body for break dancing.
Okay.
And it's happening. It's even happened before with the Junior Olympics. You can Google all this stuff. There's kids that are winning gold medals.
But now, with that being said, are those moves getting more protected because they're in the Olympics? You can say this means, is a such and such move, this is that.
So the reason why I mentioned that is because I don't think we have any real protection.
No copyrights, bro.
Exactly. And I think someone's going to probably watch this video and be like, no, look, and maybe somebody did copyright it. I think there's literature on the dance. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's copywritten.
And there was one move that one of those Fortnite or maybe took, and I think somebody finally got their money for the move.
Yeah, and that it's like Fortnite taking the Running Man. Like, who named that dance?
Yeah.
Right?
Who originated it?
Yeah. You know. So I was talking to Scoop, or I believe it was Scrap. I could be wrong. One of them, Ian, brought them when Kane came. Mm-hmm. And I got a moment to talk to him. And I had to ask him, I was like, yo, what made you want to jump over your foot and call that, like, thread the needle? Right? And he was like, I was just watching, like, a kung fu movie. So I do that, and I started doing that, and we both started doing that, and that became like one of the hip hop dance moves there.
Yeah,
and it was like threading the needle. He told me this,
and so, they originated it.
Yes. So you could probably find some old videos of somebody else doing it too. You know, it's a movement. It's weird like that.
Yeah.
Did they call it thread the needle? Probably not. Was it a hip hop dance move? Probably not.
Yeah.
Right? Or a party dance move? Probably not. Right? Has it been done before? Yes. To the music that we're talking about? No.
Right.
They were doing it to Kane's music. It became a part of their show and what they do, because Kane could do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
They did that.
And we all started doing it.
We all started doing it.
Yeah. They were doing it.
And
I'm monetizing dancing.
So I don't know if anybody can be like, put that in a video game and say, you know, this is the move and make money off of it. Mm-hmm. And anybody out there is he going to step up and be like, yo, you need to pay me because that's my move.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, I think there is no protection. Even though there's literature on the dance, mm-hmm. but there's no real protection. And that worries me sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we seem to be the ones in the culture who catch it like the worst. Like dances fade in and out like water. You know what I mean? It's just like, but this dance, something different.
Yeah.
Completely different. At first, I thought it was just being biased because I did the dance. Mm-hmm. And then if you really look at it from when Rocksteady was doing it from the early 70s and New York City Breakers and, you know, Dynamic Rockers and all the rockers that were rocking, and then the breakers who were actually B-boys and B-girls are hitting the floor. Those iconic dancers, if you look at what they're doing and then look at what's happening now, you can see the insane progression. It's probably one of the most, probably is the only dance that progressed like that ever. Ever.
And still kept the root of
and still
the up rock and the floor moves, right?
Yeah.
It's still essentially that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's still growing. Like, so from when I was doing it, you know, air chairs, air flares, you know, baby mills, people were calling moves like, just moves just started growing, you mm-hmm. know? And then now it's just there's moves that you, the next day you're like, what is that? And then they tell you, oh, this is that. It's like, it's evolved. It just keeps going.
Yeah. And faster.
And now faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So now there's the one-handed air flare, which people are beginning to be able to do.
That's crazy.
And that is, I didn't ever think that would be possible. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about, when you're a kid, you think about, you know, maybe like jumping the creek and you can feel like you can jump the whole thing. Like in your mind, you're like, if I run fast enough, I can jump the whole thing and make it. But when you do it, you actually fall in and then get a beating because you're wet.
Yeah.
You have to go upstairs because you can't do it. They're breaking that barrier of like you being able to say like, that's not possible. And they're like, oh, yeah? And then they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the dance is happening like that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's crazy, bro. Yo, Benzo, I feel like we got the history, not only of breakdancing, but of you yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And how you got intertwined with this culture and how you're like, why you're so deeply entrenched in this culture. Like, you're not just somebody who just dances, fam. Like, you are hip hop culture. You know what I'm saying?
Respect. Yeah, man. It's just the love for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I support all the DJs, all the MCs, all the artists. You know, we used to be out in the Queen Alleys. I support all of them because it's something beautiful that when we all get together and like I miss those 416, you know, expos.
Yeah.
416 graffitis, you know.
Yo, man. Whatchamacallit, Nathan Phillips Square, Nathan all the time, Square. Bro. Come on, man.
All those great festivals that where we were able to, you know, showcase all the art forms of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens not so much now because now even breaking has its own world right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look into like what's really going on, if you like really want to know what's going on, these guys are making careers out of the dance.
Yeah.
Like good careers. Something that we would never dream of when we were doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're really, really good and there's a lot of competitions out there, you could live off of that and help your family too and be nice. Like,
yeah, like luxury cars and stuff.
Yeah, you
like that kind of money.
You can be nice.
Yeah,
get the sponsors. That's happening right now. We're slowly trying to make that happen over here for the next generation because now I'm focused on more behind the scenes and, you know, making sure that we have dope representation over here.
Yeah.
And open up some more doors, you know, open up the doors for them.
Yeah.
And make it happen because now that they're heading to a stage like the Olympics is a huge platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in my eyes, I believe we can make a huge platform for ourselves here.
Yeah.
And, you know, be able to, you know, get these guys some opportunities to do some stuff that we never were able to do.
You know? Get to that next level.
Yeah, because I believe the kids here, that's what the kids here need. The children here in this city need something where they can see youth doing something other than, you know, the day-to-day, you know. Typical routine kid stuff. Mm-hmm. And watch these kids break, and you see how they mature in their soul. It's almost like it's like training martial arts. Right? You're training, you know, it matures them in a way where they understand that if you don't put work into it, it doesn't. You're not going to get results. Right?
Yeah.
And it also teaches you if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to get the results. You have to make a change.
Yeah.
It's not always stagnant. You have to grow. So, yeah, a lot of these kids right now, if she's, man, just, it's a whole new world. So I think that needs to happen over here. These kids need an outlet, and that's what we're going to try to make happen and grow, you know, some B-boy clans and B-girl clans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you got coming up for this year? For now that we're in the top of 2023.
Oh, this year is loaded. We got a lot going on. You're going to see us out there. It's all, I'll put it all up on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of Red Bull BC1 nationals and qualifiers over here. And yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to help out the dancers in the community, you know,
yeah,
with their grassroots events. We're going to be out there supporting. Actually, even when I leave here, that's where I'm heading. I'm heading to a popping jam.
Okay.
Just, you know, keep my eye on what's going on, who's the illest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And support them.
Yeah, know? Man. You're keeping moving the culture forward, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to support everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once that happens, this year is going to be a good year. This summer is going to be a good year. Make sure you guys come out to, and a lot of it's going to be free. So, and kid friendly. So, yeah, man.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. And the people in the audience, make sure to tap in. Let the people know where to find you as far as like your Instagram or anywhere where you need people to find you. Yeah,
BenzoBTX at Instagram. That's where I'm at. I'm always there. And yeah, we can link up anytime. I post all the events and all the jams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I support all these DJs, man. And, you know, it's DJ Therapy's birthday party tonight.
Okay.
Sweet Touch Foundation. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys always support us, man. So good shout out. It's his birthday. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Gonna go see him tonight too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I want to salute you and I want to thank you for having this conversation here with me, man. I'm going to take us out the same way that we came in. Before I do that, salute to our sponsors, Astro Pink. If you know, you know, check them out on their website, myastropink.com, or on their Instagram, astro_pink. And salute to Kush. Let me make sure I get the name right on this here, because you know what I'm saying? Designer Kush 6, you know what I'm saying? Mm. They hooked us up with some nice quads here, you know what I mean? They got the Stewie and Bart Simpson and the robot from Futurama and Riley on the package you know what I'm saying?
If you ever do an episode about just like what we smoking on, mm-hmm. holler at me. I'm always down for that. I have a very wide selection of what I'm always on. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely take you up on that.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. That'd be fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we are the world's most smoked out podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm gonna take us out how we came in with the the ledge. You know, because you know we spread some knowledge today. Let me see what's going on.
Every time you hear it, nasty.
Mm-hmm. Shell way around on the battleground, dead bodies around throughout the town. I'm trying to put shame in my game to make a name. I'm gonna put it on a bullet, put it in your brain. Rip the blood like a buckshot. We love hip hop.